Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching from the book of Philippians, the New Testament book of Philippians. That this is a letter that the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write to a church in the city of Philippi. And the title of the message today is Rejoicing in Christ. Rejoicing in Christ. And I'll be starting at the first verse of this chapter. Often on this program, what I like to do is to pick a chapter of the Bible and go through that chapter verse by verse. And that's called expository preaching. It's a good way to preach because it doesn't take anything out of the context. And even when I preach on one verse, you know, I try to preach it within its context. So many people make the mistake of taking verses, even words, out of the context that they're written in and try to interpret them and try to understand their meaning. And it's impossible to do so. Context is so important. And so I'm going to start at verse 1 here, and I want to show you the context here in Philippians chapter 3. And my plan is, in the next several messages, is to go through this chapter. But we're talking about rejoicing in Christ. Now, it starts out, verse 1, Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul is writing to the believers in the church at Philippi. And he says, finally, my brethren, brethren in Christ, not physical brethren, but spiritual brethren. And that's important. Now, it's another thing it's important to understand here is that churches like Philippi, these were considered Gentile areas where Paul went out and preached the gospel and the Lord planted a church in certain cities like Galatia and Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, all of these. These churches were made up of believing Gentiles, but also believing Jews. And then there were also others who went out preaching another message, a false gospel, who tried to infiltrate these churches. But look here, he says, finally, my brethren, brethren in the Spirit, sinners saved by the grace of God, the elect of God is what the Bible calls them. They are those whom God chose before the foundation of the world and gave to Christ, placed all of the responsibility of their salvation upon Him and Him alone. And so the ones He came to redeem, they are justified. If they're true brethren, they're justified. That means their sins are forgiven and they are declared righteous based upon Christ's righteousness imputed, charged, accounted to them. And they have been brought to faith in Christ. So finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, it's important that we understand this. Rejoice here means to be glad. It means to have joy. That's what it literally means. But now, this is not when I entitled this message, Rejoicing in Christ. We're going to look at that down in verse 3, where there's another word, rejoice, that means something else. But here, rejoice in the Lord means to be glad in the Lord. And that's what a believer is commanded and instructed to do, looking to Christ, finding my salvation in Him and Him alone, and rejoicing in Him, being glad in Him, knowing that I have nothing in myself to recommend me unto God, knowing that I have no way of saving myself or keeping myself safe. It's all in Christ. And so I rejoice in the Lord. And then Paul writes, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous or burdensome, but for you it is safe. Now, Paul, when he addressed these churches or wrote these churches, he had the same message. It's the gospel message. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of that message over in Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, the Jew first, the Greek also. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, from the doctrine of Christ to believing sinners. As it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith. So Paul often repeated himself. I get accused of that very often from people. But I don't mind it. Because if you're a believer, I can tell you this, it's not burdensome or grievous to me to preach the same message. But for you, it is safe. It is safe. Because you see, the preaching of Christ crucified and risen from the dead is the safety of God's people. That's how we are saved and how we're kept saved, kept safe. Now in verse 2, he says this. Now listen to this. He says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Now what would inspire Paul to say that? Here he's talking about rejoicing, being glad. And then in verse 2, he brings a negative to him. Beware, be wary, be on guard. Be ready to recognize this and not get involved with it. And he says, dogs. What's the word dogs mean? No, well, that's like an old stray dog, a cur dog that nobody wants. Often, the self-righteous, unbelieving Jews would refer to Gentiles that way. Gentile dogs. Some animal that nobody wants. And he says, beware them. Well, Paul, why would you use such strange language, such harsh language? He says, beware of evil workers. Well, what's he talking about there? Surely he's talking about the immoral, irreligious segment of our society. Well, no, that's not who he's talking about here now. Now, believers, true Christians, should not engage in the behavior, the immoral behavior of unbelieving people. That's true. And the Bible deals with that in other passages. But when Paul says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, he's not talking about what we would consider the evil, immoral, irreligious segment of society. Who's he talking about? Well, he says it right here in this phrase, beware of the concision. Concision. Now, in the next verse, Paul says in verse 3, we are the circumcision. The circumcision. You know what circumcision is? That was the rite that the Jews were instructed to go through as since Abraham of the male children, cutting off the foreskin of the flesh on the eighth day after they were born. But back up there in verse 2, he says the concision. Now, what we have there is kind of like a play on words. And verse 3 tells us what he means, for we are the circumcision. The concision, the word concision actually is a word that could be closely defined as mutilation. Mutilation. And what he's talking about here he's talking about Jewish men and women, or Jewish men, who claim to believe the gospel, who claim to be Christians, and they would go out into these Gentile churches, and they would insist that the Gentile believers be circumcised, the male believers be circumcised, in order to be really saved, in order to be truly righteous and acceptable in God's sight. So what they were doing is they were adding their works to the work of Christ. Now, it's important that you understand this or you won't get this chapter. These were people, Jewish people, who claimed to be Christian, who claimed that Christ was their only hope, who claimed that Christ was their salvation. But they would say, you have to be circumcised, you Gentile men have to be circumcised in order to be saved, to be really saved, to be really righteous, to be accepted with God. So they brought in the law of circumcision and added it to the work of Christ for the salvation of sinners. Well, Paul just lays it out on the line and he says, all they're doing is mutilating you. There is no religious reason. There's no way that you can fit the physical rite of circumcision into the plan of salvation and the gospel. There's no way you can do that. And he says these men who are Jews, Israelites, who come along and try to get the Gentile men to be circumcised in order to be really saved or really righteous or really accepted, they're not doing you any good at all. They're actually denying the gospel. And so he says in verse 3, he says, for we are the circumcision. Now, what does he mean by that? And he's talking to the believers there. We who believe in Christ, we are the circumcision. And, you know, the Jews often referred to themselves as the circumcision. And they've referred to the Gentiles as the uncircumcision. Well, Paul says, they think that they're doing right. They think they're saved, but he said, we are really the circumcision. Well, what's Paul talking about? And how could he talk to a Gentile who had not been circumcised that way? Well, here's the key. And listen very carefully. What Paul's talking about here in verse 3, for we are the circumcision, is spiritual circumcision. It's called circumcision of the heart. Spiritual circumcision of the heart. And if you'll look over in Romans chapter 2, the last two verses of Romans chapter 2 gives us a really good explanation of what Paul is talking about. And he says here, verse 28, and here in the context, he's talking about how the Jews sought righteousness and salvation by their law-keeping, including their circumcision, how they didn't make it because no sinner can be saved by their works. No matter how hard you try, I don't care if you're a Jew or a Gentile, you cannot be righteous, be made righteous in God's sight by your works. The only way a sinner can be made righteous is by God's grace based upon the righteousness of Christ imputed to him, charged to him, accounted to him. I have no righteousness in myself. My righteousness is Christ. And that's really the theme of what Paul's saying in Philippians 3. But listen, look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 28. Paul writes here, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Now, when we talk about salvation, we're not talking about what you are by natural birth, your race, your ethnicity, or anything like that. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. And then Romans 2:29. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart. Now, you understand what Paul's talking about over in Philippians 3. We are the circumcision. He's saying we've been circumcised in our hearts. And circumcision, let's read verse 29. He is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter. Not according to the law, see, whose praise is not of men, but of God. You see that? That's the whole issue there. He's talking about circumcision of the heart, not circumcision of the flesh. And over in, turn to Galatians chapter 6, in the last part of the book of Galatians. Now, what was going on in the church at Philippi was going on in the churches of Galatia too. There were Jews who claimed to be Christian, who entered into these churches, and insisted that the Gentile believers be circumcised physically. in order to be really saved, really righteous, really accepted with God. And Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, he says, but God forbid that I should glory, that I should boast, or I should have confidence, save or accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. My confidence, my boast is not in anything I do or don't do. It's not anything that God's done in me or through me. It's in the cross. The person, the glorious person, and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I do on this program. That's what I do when I stand up in our church and preach a message. I brag on Christ. I boast in Him, not in myself. And so he says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross means His death, His blood, His righteousness that He accomplished by His death, wherein He was buried and arose again the third day because of the justification of His people. He put sins away and He worked out a perfect righteousness whereby they could be accepted with God. And listen to the rest of this in Galatians 6:14. By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. What Paul means there is because I glory in nothing but the cross, glory in nothing but Christ. What he's saying there is that gives me a different relationship with the world. Because I look upon the world, the unbelieving world, as being cursed, cursed of God. And the unbelieving world looks upon me as being cursed of God when they really understand what I'm saying. But look at verse 15 of Galatians 6. Now he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. He says in verse 15, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything. That's physical circumcision. It means nothing. That's what he's saying. Doesn't avail or accomplish anything as to spiritual life and salvation. It availeth anything. Neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. It doesn't matter if you're a Gentile who's uncircumcised. That has no bearing on your justification before God. Your sins being put away. Your righteousness established. Your circumcision has nothing to do with a right relationship with God, physical. But he says, but a new creature or a new creation. Now, what is the new creature, the new creation? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. So what Paul's saying, Nick, look, God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross of Christ, the glorious person, the finished work, the blood, the righteousness of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. And in Christ Jesus, physical circumcision doesn't accomplish anything, doesn't add anything, and physical uncircumcision doesn't take away anything. It's all in Christ Jesus, and the only thing that matters is a new creation, a new creature. What is the new creature? It's a born-again person. It's a person who has been circumcised in heart, circumcision of the heart. That, you know, Christ said you must be born again. You must be given a new heart, a new life, spiritual life. By nature, we're spiritually dead. See, we fell in Adam. Romans 5:12. Sin entered into the world and death by sin. For death passed upon all men, for that all sinned. And as a result, we're born without any spiritual life. We're born spiritually dead. And that's why Christ said you must be born again. So go back over to Philippians 3 in our text. Paul says, beware of these people who claim to be Christian, who come in wanting to add physical circumcision, like as the Jewish state under the old covenant from Abraham, in order for you to be more saved or holier or more righteous. Verse 3, for we are the circumcision. He's talking about we've been born again. Jew and Gentile, if you believe the gospel, That's the evidence that you've been born again. And he gives three evidences here. He says, we are the circumcision, number one, which worship God in the Spirit. Now, the word Spirit there is, if you've got a King James Version, it's probably in small letters. Some interpret this to be the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And it could go either way. When he says we worship God in the Spirit, if it's the small s, it means that we've been given new life from God. We've been given a new spirit. We've been given a new heart. And we worship God in sincerity and truth. And if it's the Holy Spirit, it means that we worship God as the Holy Spirit leads us and shows us and guides us in the Word of God. And basically, here's what it is. We worship God, the true and living God, as He is according to the revelation of Himself. Now, the unbelieving Jews claimed to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they were worshiping an idol. You say, well, how can you say that? Listen, any sinner who approaches God, his idea of God, expecting God to save him or bless him or receive him based upon any works that he does or hasn't done, that's not the God of the Bible, who believes that that God accepts him based upon his circumcision, physical circumcision, for example. That's not the God of the Bible because he won't have that. Back over in Cain and Abel. Cain came to God based on the works of his hands. He didn't know the true and living God because the true and living God forbids that. The true and living God won't accept that. Abel came to God with the blood of a lamb, picturing Christ. That's the true and living God. So we worship God. We serve God in the Spirit. And then secondly, he says, we rejoice in Christ Jesus. And that's what we're talking about. Rejoice. Now, remember back up in verse 1, he said, rejoice in the Lord. Well, that means to be glad. But it's a different word here in verse 3 when he says, rejoice in Christ Jesus. In fact, it's the same word that is translated glory over in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory. And what Paul's saying is, we know we've been circumcised in heart. We know we've been born again because we worship the true and living God according to the Spirit in sincerity and truth. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. That means we boast in Christ Jesus. We have confidence in Christ. He is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and He's our redemption. He's my whole salvation. My physical circumcision means nothing. Christ is everything. His glorious person, His finished work. For therein, the gospel wherein the righteousness of God is revealed, that's the merit of His whole work of redemption on the cross as the surety, the substitute, the redeemer of His people. And then he goes on in verse 3, he says, and have no confidence in the flesh. We have no confidence in the flesh. And the flesh there, what he's talking about is anything that he can do. And he goes on in the next verses to describe that, and I'll get to that. But Paul, when he talks about the flesh, you know, the term flesh in the Bible is an interesting term. Sometimes it's talking about the physical body. Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. Sometimes the word flesh talks about the sin principles that reside in us. Unbelief, darkness, ignorance, evil motives, evil goals, evil thoughts. That's the flesh. And the reason that's called the flesh is because these evil principles, sinful principles within us, work their way out through our physical bodies. When we use our eyes or our brain in evil ways, or our hands, or when we walk in an evil walk. And so it's called the flesh. But what Paul is talking about here is the best that the flesh can do. The best that I can do in myself, by my works, I have no confidence in it. My confidence of salvation, my confidence of being saved, my confidence of being kept under glory, my confidence of being justified, knowing that my sins have been totally washed away. What can wash away my sins? Well, my boast is in Christ, nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see what I'm saying? And so all that the flesh can accomplish at its best, religion, morality, whatever it is, I don't have any confidence in it. My confidence of salvation and righteousness, my confidence of sanctification, my confidence of all the blessings that God has for me is Christ Jesus and not the flesh. God does not, listen, God, I can never put God in a situation where he owes me anything but damnation and wrath. My confidence is Christ, and I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And everything else, I count it but dung. Now, we're going to see that here in Philippians chapter 3. Rejoicing in Christ is believing in Christ by the power of God. If you've been born again by the Spirit, your confidence, your faith is not in yourself or even in your faith, but in Christ alone, crucified and risen from the dead. He is my righteousness. That's what it takes to, he is the way of righteousness. It's all by his merits, by his work, by what he accomplished. And I'm the recipient of that by the grace of God. Grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we are the circumcision that we believe the gospel because we rejoice, evidenced by rejoicing in Christ. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.